Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Here we go. Jake and Josh are here to analyze the game they love for the team they love. This is another Dolphins Podcast. Here's your host, Jake Mendel and Josh Houts.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of another Dolphins Podcast. The 2024 NFL Draft is in the books. Joshua Houts, is it team fire Chris Greer, or was general manager Chris Greer in his bag this weekend? Let me know. Let's decide it right now.
Yeah, I mean, isn't it funny, though, how we all sit here and we'll see these draft grades going around after before these guys ever played in a single down in the system and things like that. It did seem like it was fire Chris Greer after night one. I mean, it was crazy the amount of people that were upset about the Chop Robinson pick, which we'll talk about. But as the days went on, you know, these Dolphin fans and myself included got excited about it. So I think everyone wants to keep Chris Greer around now. He's, you know, put back up on a podium after some of the moves he made and some of those draft grades the experts are giving him. But yeah, we'll see how it all pans out long term. But I'm excited, man. How have you been? How'd your draft week go? And how do you feel now that it's all finally over and we can sit here and dive into some of our new favorite players on the Miami Dolphins?
It was nice to kind of stew on these for a couple days because on the surface, it's frustrating, right? We wanted the Dolphins to go best player available. Well, is the best player available a bunch of guys who might not play in year one? It's a lot to digest about this draft class, and I get there are some super major needs on this roster. First, Josh, I want to just get it out of there. I don't think I can get closer to feeling like I just got screwed over in a football game like I did than what the Steelers did to the Dolphins, both nights one and two. Troy Fatanu in the first round and then Zach Frazier right before the Dolphins. It just seemed like back-to-back slaps in the face where I legitimately thought that the Dolphins were going to be able to build up the offensive line, not think too much about it with one of those two guys.
Yeah, I mean, and it's so hard being up here. I mean, you see the Eagles draft's also good. The Steelers, I mean, one of my really, really good friends, my wife's like, hey, you want to invite him up for the draft? I was like, absolutely not. The Steelers pick at 20, Dolphins pick at 21. And then this absolutely happened. So, yeah, man, it felt like someone was throwing the dagger in there. You can even throw Roman Wilson's name out there, receiver that we could liked in the draft. I mean, on paper, way too early, the Steelers look like they knocked out of the park. And you wondered after that Foytano after they went there and went with the tackle there that all Dolphin fans wanted. You wonder if Chris Greer and Mike McDaniel, I mean, we've all been on the clock in the fantasy leagues, right? Do you kind of feel that little bit of a tilt situation? You know, maybe then they're sitting there, you know, trying, we've heard there were trade down options. You know, maybe they just sat there and spun out of control a little bit and say, you know what, let's just forget it. Let's not overthink this. Let's get our best player available. Maybe, I mean, question mark, and see what happens. But yeah, man, that was an absolute gut wrench and a dagger to all of us because, you know, we sat here and talked about how good this offensive line class was to not come away with, you know, the guy that a lot of us started getting up there towards the days. We started to think that this might be the guy. It was heartbreaking.
The Photoshop's felt real. It seemed like this is actually one that's going to happen. Now we're going to have to just wait and hope it's OBJ is that Photoshop that becomes real for the Dolphins. Thank you for everyone who listened to our instant reaction to the Chop Robinson pick. We recorded that right after the draft, so it's probably pretty loopy. I was whispering just not to be too loud. So thank you to everyone who took the time to listen to that. It was absolutely insane that there were 14 straight offensive players selected to begin this draft. That was absolutely mind-boggling to me. But then right after that, at pick 15, Latu went to the Colts. That started the run of edge rushers. So you had Latu at 15. Dallas Turner at 17, Jared Verse at 19, who someone probably the day of I was talking myself into, this is probably going to be the guy the Dolphins get. I saw a lot of mock drafts that it's going to be Jared Verse. Sure, we'll make it work. And then we just talked about the Steelers, so that leaves Chop Robinson on the board from Penn State, pick 21. I thought it was interesting, Josh, because this was the first run on a defensive position, and it was edge rusher. And you said it for months. You retweeted your tweet, I think it was from 2022, when Mike McDaniel was saying, I want an edge rusher in the first round every year. The second we saw that run start, we should have kind of thought, like, this is hurting the Dolphins a little bit. They wanted to go an edge rusher. The signs were there. They made it so obvious. So having a couple of days to stew on it, do you feel like the Dolphins fell into that draft day tilt of like the edge rushers are falling? We got to get our guy. We can't let anything happen anymore. Or were they locked and loaded? Should we kind of lean into knowing that Chris Greer's been this general manager of this franchise since 2016? Maybe he knows a thing or two. And if he was on the board a little longer, Robinson would have went elsewhere.
Yeah, I think it's more that latter thing. I mean, we talked about so much coming into the draft, how they were, you know, set plugging these little holes here and there where they could almost go best player available. And then we're all sitting here kind of shocked when they, you know, seemingly do, right? I mean, I guess the biggest question mark you have is, was Quinyon Mitchell went next to the, didn't he go to the Eagles right after us? Was that the pick there? So that was the one player that, you know, maybe you could sit there and say might have been the better value. But, you know, we were sitting here talking about Cooper DeJean and Johnny Newton and things like that. And those guys all fell in the day too. So I absolutely think they went with their player on the board. You can see with Chop Robinson what they liked, right? He doesn't have those, you know, eye-grabbing numbers. He's not going to, you know, I think 4.5 sacks last season. But when you turn on tape, he's a raw player that I think, you know, the way they can utilize him, move him around, be that weapon. And if you listen to this podcast set time and time again, this is that Josh Allen neutralizer. So, you know, as the dust settled, definitely feel a lot better about the Chop Robinson pick. But, you know, that first night, I think a lot of Dolphins fans were just taken aback and just wondering, you know, why didn't they solidify that offensive line? Are we going to be in that same position we've been in time and time again when we're sitting here, you know, wondering if Tua can stay upright for the entire year?
Have we gone from a Gronk stopper to an Allen stopper? Is that what's happening here?
I mean, if his shoe fits, right? I mean, we could stop Gronk. He could not have the angle. But Josh Allen, man, that's been our for lack of a better word, stepdaddy for these last few years. So if this is what it takes, man, using the 21st overall pick, I'm all for it. But Chop Robinson just seems like a player that's hungry, wants to get in there, and is willing to do all the little things. And I think to Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, and, you know, I keep looking at that comparison from Lance Zierlein, Micah Parsons, if he can reach that potential, oh boy, Dolphin fans will forget real quickly about some of those other names on the board.
In his first press conference, I had one line written down here. Once you get here, you have to stay here. So it kind of speaks to that mentality. Nick Saban said that he needs to learn how to turn speed into power, which I thought was interesting. And basically, in the really generic, long story short, he can kind of punch you in the face with a quick jab, but the longer a play develops, maybe he'll get washed out, especially against the run. Needs to learn how to react better. And I think even in the press conference, he acknowledged that's something he's going to work on. But that being said, I would have loved to see him with someone like Christian Wilkins, just someone who can win on the first step in the interior, with someone like that on the outside, just that pressure coming from both directions. Josh, we had concerns about taking an edge in the first round because you're wondering, like, week 10, week 11, what are you going to do, right? If you have Bradley Chubb healthy, Jalen Phillips healthy, Shaq Barrett's in the room, that's a lot of guys you need to get on the table, or on the field, I should say. A lot of options on the table. How are you approaching that? Do you even see that as an issue, or do you see that as a good problem to have? And it's more of a maybe early season, we got to figure out if Chop Robinson can come in week one, be a starter for this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're kind of, you know, almost have to rely on him to, you know, by default, right? I think I have to go to Mike McDaniel and talk about what he said during his presser. I think he said, you've never had a team say, oh no, we have too many pass rushers. Right. So it doesn't seem like it's a bad problem to have. I think when he continues to talk about his versatility, you know, he says he plays nose tackle when really he's just standing up and everyone's just kind of moving around, you know, that amiibo thing that we remember from the good old Brian Flores days. So he's not going to go down there and play traditional nose tackle, but he can move around. He can drop back in coverage and they can get really joke, but you can see that maybe they might use this dude at cornerback from time to time. So obviously, you know, it's just a big brain decision. The Dolphins got an edge rusher that's versatile, that still has to grow into his own. And I think this is definitely more about, you know, what he can become. 18.3 pressure rate last year, third in the nation. He's a guy, like you said, Jake, needs to get some more speed. I do think he needs to develop more of an arsenal of moves, but dude, unbelievable. I mean, I wish they still had those sports science shows. Do you remember those, Jake, with the sports science? I mean, those first two steps that he has are just insane. I don't know how someone get that fast. So I'm hyping myself up on the chopper. I'm going to pick more and more every day. And I don't think that's a bad problem to have. Sorry for taking forever to answer your question.
He said he has experience playing center. That's kind of a bonus here, right? Like just in case if everything turns into a disaster here, you can lock in your full-time starter with Chop Robinson. Yeah, it's frustrating because I think a lot of fans wanted just someone to walk in that blue chip potential and just be a four-year starter. You don't necessarily have that with someone like Chop Robinson. You hear people saying he's raw. It's going to take time for him to develop. But Josh, what does that necessarily mean? Is that 2 years or is that just like 6 months? Like when we're talking about the process for what he needs to do and come in, we think Jalen Phillips should be ready to start the season. He said it a few times. You have Shaq Barrett, but it's really going to still be a true rotation needing someone else to be in there, whether it's Chop Robinson or, as we're going to talk about a little later, another pass rusher who the Dolphins drafted in the fifth round. But before we get to him, Josh, second round pick, Patrick Paul out of Houston. What were your initial thoughts to hear that name come off the board?
Well, he was the same guy that I think analysts were talking about could fall into the first round, you know, move into the first round and end up getting selected. So when I first heard his name called, I mean, this is a guy that, again, I think we talked about during the Senior Bowl week when he was kind of really showing up. I mean, the guy looks like a redwood tree, right? He's absolutely huge. I mean, we can't sit here and say any offensive lineman and get mad. So my first thing was, okay, they got an offensive lineman. Let's see what he can do. I mean, he's strictly basically a left tackle. Teron Armstead's predecessor, I guess. So I wasn't upset, but I mean, Dolphins Twitter seemed to be pretty angry about this pick, especially some of, you know, Simon Clancy was really angry about this pick and some other guys. So what were your thoughts, Jake? Because again, I can't sit here and say, give us any offensive lineman. I trust in Butch Berry and then get mad because they brought in this absolute freak alien that, you know, needs to work on his hands and things like that, that can easily be coachable.
I think Marvel in the last 15 years has done such an injustice to the Hulk that we are going to discredit 6'7", 330 pounds. 44 career starts at left tackle. That is the biggest gripe that any Dolphin fan should have. We wanted someone who could step in day one, play left guard, play right guard, and then, hey, maybe a year down the road, replace Teron Armstead. But that's the issue that I think a lot of people have right now is, one, you wanted that interior depth that you aren't getting with someone like Patrick Paul. And two, I remember doing the mock draft show, Josh, and I was really surprised that Paul was off the board, picked at like 38. He was kind of someone who really fluctuated, where if you listen to some people for the draft, they'll say he's a third round pick. And like you just said, there are other people that had him all the way up in the first round. So when you hear that, I can understand some frustration about him being selected, especially once we start talking about the fact the Dolphins traded back into the fourth round with a future third round. You could make an argument that you could have maybe traded back 15 picks in either the first or second round to get Chop, to get Patrick Paul, and then had that capital to get running back to be named later. So I get the gripes, but there's such a high level of unknowns. And the case I want to make for Patrick Paul doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, week one, week two. There are a lot of people saying this is someone who's very raw. He probably could come in, be a good pass protector, but the Dolphins love, love, love to run to that left side, especially behind Armstead. We know that Armstead is going to miss a couple of games. It's just kind of the nature of the position. The Dolphins have a great backup in Kendall Lamb. But Josh, come December, having a backup like Kendall Lamb versus having a backup like Patrick Paul, I think is going to feel so different. It's so easy right now to be so frustrated and say, like, you have the perfect scenario where you have Teron Armstead and Kendall Lamb. You got your 1-2 punch. You have it all figured out at left tackle. And Kendall Lamb will be great in the first half of the season if Armstead is forced to miss a couple games. But come December, when it's super cold out, when the Dolphins are playing in negative 15 degree temperatures, and you have Kendall Lamb 2-3 weeks away from retirement, Teron Armstead too, I think that might be enough time to really let someone like Patrick Paul get into the Butch Berry, you know, boot camp type of thing and really develop. Like, we say that these guys are raw and they're going to take time. Everybody might just go ahead and assume that means 2-3 years down the road. It could be something where this guy could be ready to at least have an impact in 8 months. And that's going to be a huge luxury when the Dolphins desperately need 1 yard on third down and they just don't know how to get it. You run behind the 6'7" Hulk. Like, why would we not love to have this guy just ready to go come December? That's like the closest thing you could have to an offensive weapon that's not going to get you fantasy points.
Yeah, I mean, you're saying that, and I was going to sit here and say another gripe I had was he's 24 years old, but you're mentioning two guys that are getting ready to retire, so you can't really gripe about that, right? I mean, you said it, man, having him late in the year, having essentially a sixth offensive lineman, right? I continue to think about what the 49ers do sometimes where they line, you know, they move that heavy set where they bring a lineman in to play tight end and they run to that side. I mean, could you not just see that being a Patrick Paul's way of getting kind of accustomed to the level? You mentioned a run game. That is an area of his game where he definitely needs to improve in. There's times where he just doesn't seem to get his hands up. There's times when he's honestly just looking for work. But again, I think he's raw enough that the Dolphins, again, Butch Berry, man, we got to trust in Butch Berry. I think Mike McDaniel said when he was on the phone with him, you know, like, we're going to lock you in a dungeon with this guy. So I don't think that this project's going to take quite as long. If you got Butch Berry, who, again, we're going to see him praised till we're blue in the face, coaching him up in a dungeon day after day. You got Teron Armstead there, some of those other pieces. I'm liking it. I had more and more each day. And, you know, Dolphin fans get mad about some of these guys, a Chop Robinson, a Patrick Paul. And what's the main reason? Because their mock draft simulator said they should have went somewhere else, right? I mean, I think these NFL GMs and you know, the scouts and things have a better grasp of, you know, when Chop Robinson might really go off the board, where Patrick Paul and, you know, some of these other guys who, by many accounts, seem like they may have fell into the Dolphins' lap, who we're talking about, because that draft grade definitely shot up there, man. After day one and two, it was day three where it seemed like everyone was just gushing over every single pick the Miami Dolphins made.
I was okay with them playing it safe. Like, the Dolphins don't have a lot of draft capital. I mean, don't take the risks if you see guys that you know can come in, whether it's going to be in week seven, whether it's going to be early next year. If you know they're going to make an impact, just go for it. Make sure you get your guys. Don't play too cute. I mean, the Jaylen Waddle experience where the Dolphins traded down and then traded back up, that's just something where it just seemed at the time they got so cute and I could barely believe that it worked, where, like, the risk isn't, you know, always necessary. And a couple more notes about Paul here. I do get the gripes, especially he's 6'8", 330. You want to compare him to, like, a Teron Armstead. He's 6'5", 304 pounds. Even Trent Williams, he's at 6'5", 318. But this is a match made in heaven, I think, for Paul and the Dolphins. Paul was absolutely raving about this team. He mentioned when he got to the Senior Bowl that his goal there was to kind of, you know, share to teams like, hey, I'm smart on the field, but I'm smart off the team too. He met Chris Greer there, had a great conversation with him. That led into meeting McDaniel at the Combine, had a great conversation with him. So this is something that's been happening over time. And if you connect the dots, you kind of see that the Dolphins have always been interested in Paul. And the final note I have here is, we had Mark Schlereth on a few weeks ago, and he kind of spoke about how all the, you know, physical freaks play on the defensive side of the football, right? They all get paid to rush the quarterback. This seems like someone, like, I've called him the Hulk three times. If you want to get, like, someone who can clamp down a freak, it's going to be someone who's 6'8", 330 pounds. If you want someone who can manhandle a monster, it's going to be this dude. And that's why I'm, you know, excited to see if he can kind of really control that body. And if you can have Teron Armstead evolve some way and have him be 30 pounds and a couple inches taller. I mean, dude, that's bananas. That, how could you be mad about that?
Yeah, and you can't, unless you're, again, I mean, some of the reasoning was that these guys can't come in right away and make an impact, which we saw. And I guess, you know, with the Cam Smiths and the, you know, Channing Tindalls that I hyped up, you know, maybe they have a point there. But yeah, man, give Patrick Paul time to develop, and I think you're going to have a pretty mammoth anchor on that left side of the offensive line.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Everybody loves to rant and rave about how great the Philadelphia Eagles were. So, Josh, let's ask you. The Dolphins traded a 2025 third-round pick to trade into the fourth round to select a running back. So before we actually talk about the player, what'd you feel about this trade? This isn't, at least based on my limited research, this isn't a third-round pick to be named later. This can't be one of the comp picks. This is Miami's actual third-round pick that is going to the Eagles next year. Who do you think won that trade?
I mean, at first, I definitely thought it was the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I was like, why'd the Dolphins give up a third? I mean, I guess if you love the player, it made sense. But as the draft went on, I think Detroit soon followed, right? I think they gave up a third-round pick to move up there, too. And I started to feel a little bit better about it. But my initial response was, damn those Eagles, they got us again.
Dude, I totally get that. And then I got to thinking, though, like, we're talking like in the perfect world, this third round pick's gonna be a late third, right? You're leaning into the fourth round. This isn't someone who's guaranteed to be a, you know, home run hit. So the Dolphins did what the Dolphins do, and they're going full Thanos. In the Infinity Stone world, they are getting every single Jalen possible. So what they decided, Jalen Wright, running back out of Tennessee, instead of waiting next year and using that third round pick on whatever running back kind of fits that zone next year, they identified a player, figured, let's give him a year of experience. Maybe we'll treat it like a tutorial where he can really get his feet under him, and invested the pick a year early.
Yeah, and you can't be upset about him getting more speed, right? I mean, Mike McDaniel loves speed. He's addicted to this thing. I mean, we all saw the tape with Jalen Wright. I mean, this is a guy who started 12 games last season, led the team with 1,013 yards rushing on 137 carries, and ranked second in college football at 7.4 yards per carry. So, I mean, you hear those numbers, you think about adding that to Devon Achane, you know, some of those other playmakers in the backfield. You got to be excited. I know Raheem Mostert's not getting any younger. You know Jeff Wilson, we talked about how expendable he could be. Salvin Ahmed, he's that boomerang that continues to stick. So at some point, Dolphins are going to need a running back. You can see why they like this skill set, especially when you turn on tape and see what he can do in pass protection. I mean, this guy is not scared to get dirty and to hit some guys. So 23.7 miles per hour, I think he was timed. I think Tyreek Hill threw that out there. Just another speed demon that doesn't have a ton of volume on him throughout college that who knows what can happen. I had someone in my DMs telling me that he reminded them of Jay Ajayi, and I don't know if that's just his aesthetic look or what it is, but sign me up for that. I think he's a little bit more of a speed back than Ajayi, but you can't be upset with this pick. What were your initial thoughts, Jake, and how excited were you when you saw everyone posting the exact same highlight of him taking one to the house?
I was so queasy because I traded Raheem Mostert in a dynasty league about a month ago, and this made me feel so much better about it. I have one dynasty pick, man, and I want to use it on this guy. It's another one where you look at it on the surface and you're like, he's not going to start day one. Why did the Dolphins do this? They have so many needs. They need a defensive tackle. They need another safety. Why are we wasting picks on another running back? Well, it's so the Dolphins aren't stuck with looking for a running back off the streets come next season, right? Raheem Mostert is going to enter next year. The Dolphins did sign him to a contract extension, but he'll be 33 years old. It's about having those options. I see a backfield of Wright having a year of experience, and then Devon Achane entering year three as that thunder and thunder that is just absolutely horrifying for the Miami Dolphins. And I call it thunder. I meant lightning. My bad about that. But just this dynamic duo where you kind of acknowledge that Mostert's getting older. Jeff Wilson's up there in age. Chris Brooks is fun to be around, but you're keeping the train moving. You're having a process where you can trust these different running backs. Despite having Tua and this dynamic passing attack, Mike McDaniel is a run game coordinator. He needs these running backs he can trust. The Dolphins, I think, were a pretty balanced offense for the majority of the year, despite it really feeling like they tailed away from the rushing game. I think they did a good job of staying balanced for the majority of 18 weeks, so I get it. It makes sense. And it's not going to be one that feels good, you know, week four, week five, when we see him getting one snap, you'll see people dunking on each other on Twitter saying, like, look at this. He had one carry for 7 yards. But as we see him more and more in games, he might start to scare defenses. Then he'll break one free, and then all hell will open up from there.
Yeah, and this is almost like a player like Chop, like Patrick Paul, you know, that is also was all over teams' boards, right? I think some people had him ranked as the number one running back, number two. Others had him a little bit down the line. So, I think now we just got to realize that Mike McDaniel is going to probably throw a dart at a running back every single year. We saw it happen in San Francisco time and time again. I guess we're just going to get used to that, but he has that blazing speed. You can see why the Dolphins like him. Do have to mention that a lot of his runs came against light boxes. So he's not going to, you know, run between the tackles and maybe pick up some of that dirty yardage that we might need. Someone jokingly said he's going to pick up a 3rd-and-1. I said doubtful. That's probably still doubtful, but we'll see what happens. Stoked about Jalen Wright, stoked that they had another playmaker. And like you said, Jake, there might be a time where we're relying on this guy sooner rather than later.
So Jonathan Brooks, Trey Benson, Blake Corum, and Marshawn Lloyd all went before Jalen Wright. But overall, I mean, I'm ready to – I'll trust Mike McDaniel to get these traits. I mean, looking at what the San Francisco 49ers did – with years, I mean, Elijah Mitchell, I mean, Jeff Wilson, Raheem Mostert, those were all guys for year after year, they always had someone ready to go at running back. I'm all for that. I think we're going to realize as we see more and more of this offense, it's so easy to get caught up in Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, but this team absolutely does love to run the football. any doubts, you didn't have any really gripes with Miami's decision to trade up. It kind of felt like they were desperate to trade one of next year's third round picks. But overall, I get the process. And I kind of am for, like, if you need this guy to come in and play next year and have a major workload, you'd rather have him have a year of experience under your belt, even if it means you got to, you know, invest a whole, you know, round later.
Yeah, I think one thing I've always, you know, tried to say is if they feel that this is their guy, you know, on their board, whatever, just go and get him, right? Find a way to get him. You talked about it. It was something I kind of overlooked in the moment, but we still have those compensatory picks. So it isn't the end of the world, like you said. Hopefully this Dolphins team is winning the AFC East, you know, competing deep into the playoffs where we don't have to worry about that late round pick. But yeah, I originally thought, damn, I can't believe they got hosed. And then as you saw some of these other trades, as you remembered the compensatory picks, and as you considered what Jalen Wright can bring to this offense and how excited they seem to be for that pick, sign me up. I have no issues with it.
He's a solid receiving back, too. I believe he had 22 receptions for 141 yards. That's about 6.5 per in college. But I think this also pushes that Devon Achane agenda, Josh, going forward, where I think he can be more of a receiving back, where hopefully Jalen Wright is that majority. None of these guys, you really can call him like a workhorse back, right? None of these guys look like Jerome Bettis back there. But somebody who might get 65 to 35% of the snaps might be someone like Jalen Wright compared to Achane, where you want to limit the amount of hits he's taking, maybe on the interior, throw him a couple passes. I'm going to keep pushing that agenda until I'm blue in the face.
Yeah, keep giving him passes. And we got to mention, I mean, Achane, for as much as we love him, for as explosive as he was, what, six total games I think he's missed, or seven was it, throughout his career. So, you could use Jalen Wright, and I'm excited to see what he can bring, but temper expectations. We're going to draft him in all our fantasy leagues, though.
Yeah, with that, Josh, where do you rank these guys? Are you willing to, like, take a leap of faith on someone like Jalen Wright, or is it, like, Achane probably top of list? I still think Raheem Mostert, the touchdown volume is just absolutely insane, and the fact he can, against a bad team, get you 20 carries for 120 yards, no problem. I still think he's going to give you a lot of value, but I think Achane might be that more consistent week by week, or do you think kind of Wright can sneak up on either of them?
Yeah, I mean, we're sickos, so we're in dynasty. So that was my original. That was my first thought, was getting this guy in a rookie draft, you know, stashing him on your thing. I don't know if you're going to be picking Jalen Wright up, unless, you know, he's probably one of those guys you get during waivers when you realize that, you know, you might start this week or get some touches because we're reading a Barry Jacks report or whatever. But yeah, I think I'd stick with Achane. But Raheem Mostert, man, I mean, for the value that he's going to get, where he's going to get drafted in fantasy leagues, and for how awesome he looked last year, I mean, it's hard to count against him.
I'm going to shake the crystal ball, Josh. It might be week two. It might be preseason. There's going to be a time when Dolphins Twitter blows up because Mo Kamara, one of the most violent edge rushers of the 2024 draft class, is going to hit the ground running with the Dolphins. So they selected him, pick 23 in the fifth round. He is going to go berserk. Like I said, might be preseason week two, might be week three with like two sacks. Well, maybe Chop Robinson has like two pressures and doesn't really have that stellar performance. This dude is going to be an absolute menace on the defensive line, Josh. What do you think of someone like Mo Kamara coming into the Dolphins in the fifth round?
Yeah, I mean, you hit it. And I know that a lot of Dolphins Twitter, again, they look at the stats and the production and they look at the highlights. And if you switch those two players, I mean, I bet Dolphins fans would be much more stoked for what they see out of Muhammad Kamara. So, I mean, you look at what he did last year, player of the year in the Mountain West Conference, first team all Mountain West Conference, led the team with 17 tackles for loss, tied for third with 13 sacks. I mean, team captain, the guy, I mean, he looks like a menace. He looks like a guy that's just going to, you know, chomp down and go after the opposing quarterback. And I know we all saw that quote, right? I mean, this dude seems like he is genuinely angry at every team that passed on him, and he is going to make them pay until his very last days, like John Wick style. So I don't think you're going to give up on this guy. I think Dolphin fans are going to love what they see, and definitely intrigued to see how he develops, how he sticks around, and what his role is early on. Because as we discussed, I mean, again, we're talking about round five picks. I'm not going to get too hyped about them and talk about them having a role here and there, but the Dolphins are going to need some, you know, they're going to need someone on the edge to come in early on in the season as we wait for Bradley Chubb, as Jalen Phillips, as, you know, maybe comes along slow, whatever it is. We might need a guy like Muhammad Kamara to come off the edge and make an impact, and just pinning his ears back, I could definitely see him doing that. But again, I'm trying so hard this draft season not to get way too excited about these guys that I know are just going to break my heart.
Can't believe it, man. Sleepy Greer wasting the pick on Chop Robinson when you have Mo Kamara, and they'll get all.
Someone said it. It's probably a tweet. You could probably go search it. It's probably already been said, man.
And then the
3,000 views
is entering year three. We'll already be talking about, like, man, Chop Robinson, like he just coming off a 13 sack season. Like, how are we gonna pay for this guy? And it's gonna be the same guy. Can't believe Greer hit that draft at the ballpark, man. It's going to be the same thing. But I love the quote where he sounded genuinely pissed. He was waited until the fifth round to be drafted. Josh, I want to ask you, the last player to win Mountain West Conference Defensive Player of the Year from Colorado State University. Do you happen to know who that is?
No. It wasn't Preston Williams.
Oh, my God, dude.
He's on the Dolphins. It's not Zeke. Is it Zeke?
Shaq Barrett.
Oh, come on, man. I even saw a little thing going around showing both of them. What am I thinking? Zeke Vandenberg was like Delaware or something like that. So Shaq Barrett, that two peas in a pod, man.
I thought that was pretty interesting because I thought their stats are pretty similar. I think Barrett reached 20 tackles for a loss. But either way, like decade apart, both of these guys won the award. And we're talking about like why did Kamara fall so late? Like if he won this award, if he's always getting tackles for a loss. This doesn't really help his case to like calm the waters, but Shaq Barrett went undrafted. And you see the career he turned that into. He's been playing in the NFL for over 10 years at this point. So you kind of see that trend right there, right? Where maybe this is a school where maybe someone's overlooked a little bit and you can develop that starter, which also kind of speaks to like, there's a world where that guy saying Sleepy Greer in week two was sleepy. I don't want to overhype it as a fifth round pick, man, but I see the path. If we want to see a path where a fifth rounder comes in, really makes a name for himself and establishes himself. I mean, look at Shaq Barrett's career. He did the same damn thing.
Yeah. And I mean, you don't want to say it's one of the things the Dolphins seem to be better at, but we do find these acorns. We do find these guys that, you know, they can find a way to turn around and have them be productive. So, dude, I'm hoping that we're sitting here talking about Mo Kamara being the next Shaq Barrett, you know, for years to come and just his story. Because, again, just hearing him legitimately, I mean, we've heard, I think, Monron St. Brown comes out every year and talks about the receivers that went before him. Mm-hmm. But to hear this guy basically come out and say, I just want to thank the Dolphins, the lovely team of Miami for selecting me, but I'm going, yeah, something like that. He's like, but I'm going to just absolutely like destroy every team and seek vengeance on all these teams that passed on me. So sign me up for the Mo Kamara revenge tour, I guess. Every game's a revenge game. Can we do that?
Dude, I'd love to see his Fallout character, the attitude on that thing. Just he did say it, lovely Dolphins. I'd like to thank the lovely Dolphins for drafting me. But overall, man, I absolutely love what the Dolphins are doing with their depth at the edge. I was a little, you know, I was wondering, like, oh, man, is there a scenario where Shaq Barrett and Chop Robinson are your day one starters on the edge, which would be fine, but I think that'd be a brutal run defense. And I think that's something that Dolphin fans are going to see early this year is that the run defense is going to take a major step back, especially not having Christian Wilkins. But Josh, what do you think overall? Do you think they've really, have they solidified the edge rush group despite knowing that Chubb and Phillips are still dealing with those injuries?
Man. That's hard. I mean, it sounds like Jalen Phillips will be ready for the season, at least based on Twitter reports and some of those things. So if that's the case, I do feel really good about it. If you're not going to have Jalen Phillips or Bradley Chubb heading into the year, then I'm still a little bit queasy for sure. Because then you got Shaq Barrett, who we know can go out there and you know, do things. And then you got a bunch of question marks, right? And maybe we'll see Mo Kamara or Chop Robinson early on. So, yeah, I'm feeling good about the edge room right now. I'm feeling good about everything the Dolphins have did, honestly. And, you know, a couple months ago, we're sitting here not ready to drink the Kool-Aid, and we're right back on it, ready to go win the offseason as we do every year.
I don't have a lot of notes on these last few guys, but Josh, sixth-round pick, Malik Washington, wide receiver out of Virginia. It just seemed like this is something the Rams kind of have done pretty well in terms of, you know, you don't have a lot of high draft picks, so you're really identifying some traits in like the third, fourth, and fifth round that you can really lock into. Malik Washington sounds like he could step in and be pushing for that Braylon Sanders role and maybe take it over, just that guy who he might not be on the field every down, but he's going to get his name called 2-3 times, possibly in big spots, and maybe trust him to completely blow up a defense with a 70-yard reception.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like Mike McDaniel has a type now, right? I mean, we're starting to see it. He's been here 3 years now, whether it's, you know, he loved for the defensive line. They love to throw a dart at a running back or the receivers. I mean, it seems like he legitimately has a type. This guy can run a 4.47. I think he was one of the most productive receivers. I think called 110 pass in the ACC last season. This guy can take the top off of defense, strictly a slot receiver from the way it sounds. So, again, I'm trying to pump my brakes because if everyone – I mean, anyone that knows me knows how much I like to get hyped over these lesser prospect receivers that, you know, has had that boomer bust potential, but I'm ready to do it all over again with Malik Washington. I mean, you can see what he brings to the table, has the hands, is explosive, and you just keep continuing to see what some of these experts say. Lance Zierlein, I think, tweeted out that it was absolute theft that the Dolphins landed him, right? Like Hamburglar style. So those guys are smarter than you and I, and they're saying this is a great pick. You could turn on the tape and see it's a great pick. Excited to see what he can bring to this offense as that slot guy. But again, man, he's so small that I just wonder, it's got to be a tight for Mike McDaniel. He has to love these 5'8 and a half, 5'9 wide receivers that just can blow the roof off of anyone.
Did he seem like, I see the 13 yards per reception, and I always get scared because it does reach a point where if the yards per reception is too high, that they're just maybe the flat out, you said it, burner type guys. Does he feel like he has that twitch or where he can maybe do a little damage underneath? If he gets that one-on-one in coverage, it's all of a sudden he's matched up against, you know, the Buffalo Bills fourth string, you know, linebacker in week 17 or 18, whatever it may be. Would he be able to win a situation like that, looking way deep into your crystal ball?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's more than just that one trick pony. I mean, I think he can settle down into the zones, can run the route tree. And again, we have Wes Welker. I mean, if there's anyone that can bring that out of a player, I mean, you hope it's Wes Welker. So again, try not to get too hyped, trying to pump the brakes. I'll have a cut up throughout some of the year, but this dude, absolutely, I think he just crapped all over the Hurricane. So I'm going to make sure I post that one first just to make Hurricane fans mad. But I'm excited, man. Malik Washington, sign me up. And yeah, we'll see how quick he's out there on the field because it could be sooner than later.
So the Dolphins don't even have anything on the website for Patrick McMorris, their second sixth round selection here. I'm trying to think of the last time the Dolphins had like a late round safety come in. Who was it? Who went to school with Javon Holland? And he ended up playing a lot there.
Xavier McKinney.
Yeah. So that's kind of the type of pathway you'd expect for someone like McKinney. You have Javon Holland as your 1A. I still think they need help in that secondary. I really like Jordan Poyer, but just knowing Anthony Weaver, knowing that Baltimore defense, you can't help but think they're going to want a third safety in there. I'm not necessarily sure that Patrick Morris is that, but you see that pathway that you're going to need a third safety, and that's where he could kind of, you know, find his role.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of those stump the truck situations, right? I think they might have had tape when they were doing the draft, but if the Miami Dolphins website doesn't have this player's name, I know a lot of people might not even have scouted him. So intrigued to see what that means, right? If the Dolphins, you know, went out of their way to draft this guy who some people completely overlooked, I mean, what do they have in mind there, right? Is he a gunner? I think he might have. Is he a gunner? Is he gonna play safety like you mentioned? We'll see. I mean, this is a defensive back, and if there's anything the Dolphins can find a way to, you know, get the most out of these defensive backs. I mean, we saw with Kader Coe, some of these other guys. Who knows? We're not going to be sitting here talking about Patrick McMorris most likely, but who knows, man? Who knows?
That's something, Josh, I'd love to do a podcast on soon. The Dolphins have done some really interesting things about special teams, and that's the most nerdy thing possible I can say. But talking about, or like, when you think about the new onside kick or the kickoff in general rules that they're doing, I think the Dolphins are really starting to build in an interesting way. So I'd really like to have a pod about that. But to wrap up this draft, Joshua, I don't have anything researched. Is it Taj Washington? Am I saying that right? Am I just sounding like a fool?
No, it's Taj Washington. And yes. I mean, dude, I've been getting murked in my college fantasy leagues. The first year I ever played, I think I finished second. Ever since, and I just got destroyed. But my moral of the story was I had Caleb Williams and Taj Washington as Taj Washington as those, you know, the what? Dude, I can't even remember. I can't even think of what they're called. A stack. Oh my God, I'm out there, man. A stack. But it's, I think, April. The funniest thing about this. Yeah, and we're sitting here talking about, you know, late round picks. But I think the funniest thing I saw, I think it was Dante from Dolphins Talk posted a picture. It was like Taj Washington and Malik Washington. It was that picture of the Joker, like, snapping the pool stick and throwing on the one piece on the ground, telling them to fight over that last spot. I mean, I think Malik Washington definitely has that, you know, upper advantage in that situation. But I mean, you can see some skills with Taj Washington. This guy led USC in reception with 59, 1,062 yards. He has that burner You know, that we see a little bit with some of these receivers. So I don't know if he's going to, you know, get one of those spots on the roster, but a practice squad player here or there. Mm-hmm. I mean, who knows? But again, try not to get too hyped. He has a sick aesthetic, though. I don't know if you saw what he looked like, man, but he's got that motorcycle helmet on, the visor, Clyde Edwards-Helaire style. As soon as I saw that, I was ready to, Taj Washington gang all over again.
18 yards per reception. Good grief, dude. If the Dolphins can just, like, that's the thing, you know, I heard people saying early in the draft with these guys, you know, drafted in the top 10, and there's a whole, like, the draft discourse is super annoying, but, like, this is the fastest guy since, like, Tyreek Hill. And, like, if that was the case, Tyreek Hill wouldn't have been drafted in the fifth round. Like, there are just the specific traits, and these players are going to grow and develop so much. Where, I mean, I think the Dolphins could really hit on one of these fifth or seventh round picks, and that's what you're hoping for with an offensive, quote-unquote, I'm going to say it, watch out, guru like McDaniel. Who are you rooting for out of the two, Josh? Are you rooting for Washington, or are you rooting for
Washington. Yeah, I'm thinking Washington's going to win that battle, right? No doubt. I think I have to lean with Malik Washington. I mean, I've seen a little bit of Taj Washington again throughout the season, being a fantasy football player, a sicko in that aspect. But I just think Malik Washington, you know, he probably should not have been there when he was drafted. You can see why some are saying it's theft, why some are thinking that this is the perfect landing spot. So I don't know that's who I'd put my money on, Malik Washington, obviously. Drafted earlier, but I would like to see Taj Washington, you know, go out there and battle, because you can never have too many wide receivers, especially in Mike McDaniel's offense, especially when they have speed. Both are slot receivers, and that's what we continue to say the Dolphins needed. So the cream will rise to the top, but I'm going to go with Malik Washington. Same with you, Jake, or are you thinking you're going to root for Taj Washington and go with the real underdog story here?
I think I like Malik Washington a little bit more. Just I'm just going off the body type. I see 5'8", 190, where Taj Washington is slightly taller, but he's also thinner as well at 174. Maybe you could see Malik coming in and making that role where he can maybe bounce off a tackler or two and really thrive in the slot. But at the same time, I think the Dolphins are going to do a lot to make sure, dedicate a lot more time to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle in the slot. So who knows if you have this fun, you know, rookie slot receiver, if they'd even see the field in this offense. But man, I wouldn't call it a frustrating draft. I know some people are super upset about it, but I get it. I get it, because you wanted some guys to walk in and start day one. I get that you wanted to flip the table, that they didn't take someone like Johnny Newton in the first round. But man, that was like one of the positions I didn't want the Dolphins to go, was like defensive tackle, just because it felt like they were doing the same thing over and over. What the Dolphins are doing this year, it seems like they're taking these athletic freaks who might not be week one starters, but that's what the one thing we said Chris Greer does pretty well, is he puts himself in a position to draft best player available. And then if you don't draft best player available, what are you doing? And keep in mind, best player available doesn't necessarily mean the day one ready. It could mean in 6 months. It could mean in a year. Those things are so important. But I do. I understand the frustrations we've been hearing quite a bit.
Yeah, and that's what you got to remember. I think it was even Chris Greer, when the Chop Robinson, when he was doing this after the presser and things like that, he was saying, this guy, is he a finished product? No. And people were taking that the wrong way. That does not mean that this guy can't play right now. That just means that they see a ceiling far and beyond what we see right now with our eyes. That's all that means. It does not mean that this is a Charles Harris situation or a Cam Smith situation or a Channing Tindall situation. This just means that this guy has a ceiling that can go through the roof, and the Dolphins are hoping that him, Patrick Paul, and some of these other guys can absolutely hit on him, Jake. I am excited about this draft, excited for what we have planned throughout the week. I know we're getting ready to wrap up, but I want to ask you one question, Jake, and this is something I was wondering. Do you think the Dolphins are going to regret not using that third-round pick they used to trade up to get their running back to not move up in the first round and get that tackle that you could surely come into, this, you know, a Fotana, whoever it was? You know, do you think they're going to long-term – you know, this is an early thing to even talk about. Maybe I'm stupid.
That's – like, this is when it's most fresh in our minds. It will be great to come back, like, when we're dunking with a tweet in 3 years, but it doesn't always happen. There are scenarios where, like, the Dolphins could have traded up and invested that third, and it doesn't work. I would have loved a Fatanu. I would have loved Zach Frazier in the second round. I hate the Pittsburgh Steelers. I cannot believe they did this, but at the same time, you even wonder if that's a situation the path the Dolphins would have even followed. So do you really want to get worked up about that? The thing is, I just want to wait and see on Jalen Wright. I think that'll be my deciding factor. I think the Dolphins were desperate to spend a third-round pick. I completely agree with you. If you know that tackle is going to be that blue chip walk-in start right away, there's no reason you shouldn't do it. Yeah, man, I think I'm content with the draft. I think I don't want to sit here and talk about the Seattle Seahawks. What was it, Bleacher Report in 2012 talking about the Seahawks? I think it was the Richard Sherman, Earl Thomas, Russell Wilson draft, and how they didn't draft for need, and this is like a D-minus draft. Like, those things happen. You got to let it play out, and you see the pathway for so many of these guys playing and having an impact this year, and that's what's exciting.
Yeah, that was just one of those late night, you know, you're sitting there awake and you're just like, I wonder if this is eventually going to haunt us that they didn't move up and get that guy to play guard this year. Yeah, and they moved out. Yeah, it absolutely will. But, dude, I mean, you got to be excited. You got to be excited for what they have, whether it's what we're telling you, whether it's what, you know, some of the other analysts are telling you or what those experts on TV are telling you, right? I mean, every draft grade seems to be saying the Dolphins knocked this thing out of the park, and it just seems so much different than what we've been used to, Jake. I mean, we've been covering this team for 10 plus years, and to see a draft grade where it's almost unanimously, you know, A minus, top five type thing, just doesn't seem like a Miami Dolphins way, especially after how we thought that first night, two nights were going to go. I'm excited for this draft class and excited for what these players are going to do and to root for them, because let's be honest, man, we're Dolphin fans and we'll root for every single one of these guys until they're no longer on the roster.
So we will be back later this week. Kat's going to join us to go through some undrafted free agents that the Dolphins are going through. These are the real acorns that, you know, we're going to speak about them like they're going to be absolute all-stars, and then they won't even be on the team by August 15th rolls around. So the Dolphins, I think, are currently at like 83 players. They can get up to 90, and then it's just really chopping down that roster before the regular season begins. But this was the last major point of the NFL season. It's probably going to start to cool down a little bit before, you know, the training camps pick up and everything like that. But thank you all so much for listening to another Dolphins podcast. We will talk to you soon, but until then,
fins up. Fins up.